to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Thank you for tuning in to our program today. This is Kimberly, Barbara's daughter, and we are committed to praying for you, believing that you will see light in your circumstances and walk through your days with hope. Maybe your days are filled with distractions, but we really want you to have hope and joy, excitement in the middle of all those distractions because of what Jesus has done for you. I want to remind you of our memory verse this week. It's from 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent and study to present yourself approved to God without shame, handling accurately the word of truth. And you might be wondering, well, how do I do that? How do I study to show myself approved to God without shame and know that I'm handling the word of truth? You do it by faith. You do it by believing that Jesus has already accomplished and completed what needs to be done in your life. It is done. We're going to talk about that more today. But I'm always on a roll and I tend to forget to give announcements. So let me just announce the meeting that's happening this Saturday, June 13th. If you would like to participate in the meeting and you've never done that before, please call that number, the toll-free number, 877-917-7256, or contact us at hello@freedomstreet.org. And that's an email, hello@freedomstreet.org. Go ahead and give us your name and give us some contact information for you. Leave your phone number with us so that we can call you back and give you instructions and directions to get to the meeting and also to the brunch. The brunch happens at 9:30 and then the meeting will be at 11 o'clock. I'm pretty sure I got the times right. And you know what? If you have any questions, go to our website and check it out. Check out our website at freedomstreet.org. There's more information there for you. Well, yesterday, Mom and I were reading from Ephesians chapter 2, and we were remembering that we, as human beings, we were separated from God without hope and without God in this world. But now, because of what Jesus has done, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. And maybe you have been raised in the church and have heard this message over and over. Or maybe this is your first time to hear this good news. Our prayer is that you will have a fresh vision of what this good news really means for you and for your loved ones, for the people that are in your circle of life, that the eyes of your understanding will be open and that you will be caught up in the joy and excitement for this grace that has been poured out for you and for all of us. And Lord, I just want to stop right here and say, I don't have the words to put out there to all of these people who are listening, but you do. So would you come take over? Let these words that come from my mouth be your words today and let them be fresh. Let them be new. Let them be something that catches the attention of your beloved people who are listening today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, let me start back in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, because this was kind of where we were circling around yesterday. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Again, that was Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The Bible is really clear that this is all the Lord's doing. We don't have any stake in the claim that we're reconciled to Him. However, we humans, in our human condition, we crave the credit. We want to think that we are in this position of being made right because we made a right choice, because we chose Jesus. We chose to have Him as our Savior. And because we think that way, then we want to pin that responsibility on others too. We just want others to make the right decision, make the right choice. If only they would choose Jesus and be born again. Yeah, how many of us think that way, right? How many of us have been praying for those who are still living without God in their lives? But the Bible clearly tells us that we are saved only by God's grace, not even by any decision that we have made or any work that we have done so that we could possibly boast. We cannot earn it. We can't earn the gift. It is His gift to give, and wow, it is the gift to have. That is the best gift ever. God is the one who gives this gift, and He gives it freely. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us because we think we need to choose it, right? Well, let's just keep thinking about this and talking through it, because how should we pray for someone who's not living with God? Our prayer is that they would see what Christ has done, that the eyes of their heart, or maybe the eyes of their understanding, would be opened, because Jesus already did it. He already reconciled them back to God. He paid a huge price to make that happen. He gave His life. God Himself showed up in the flesh, was born as a baby, lived this life at one of the worst times that you could possibly live under Roman rule and the cruelties of that rule, and then gave His life, was crucified, so that we could have this free gift, this gift of eternal life. So it's done. The work has been done. Now, how do we see it? How do we see that it's done? We start praying. We start praying because that's what Jesus is continuing to do. He completed the work, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father. And Romans 8, 34 tells us that Jesus is interceding for us. He was raised up and seated with the Father, and He now intercedes for us, for you, and for your beloved ones that you might be worried about. Jesus paid the big price, and now He is praying the prayers that we would all join Him. And that's what He's believing for. Well, this is a good place to be, because if Jesus has done all the work for us, really, we just need to believe. We need to trust that it's done, that He really has completed it, perfected it, accomplished it. And it really has been Jesus who's done it. Ephesians 2, let's go back to Ephesians 2, starting in verse 13. It says over and over that Jesus is the one who brought us near to God. Jesus gave us this peace of mind. Jesus reconciled two groups of people on this planet, those who are far from Him and those who are near. Those are the two groups, the ones who are far from Him and those who are near. Do you hear what that's saying? That wows me. Jesus is giving peace and reconciling the people who are far away from Him. If Jesus is doing that, we as His people can come alongside and agree with that and know that His prayers are being answered, that His reconciling is done. It's complete. It says that Jesus is destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility between the two groups. You know, I'm thinking about that wall of hostility. Basically, it's an argument. It's an argument over who is right and who is wrong. We might think that the people who are far away from Jesus are wrong, and so those who are close to Jesus are right. But Jesus is proving to us that this life is not about finding the right way to live. It's about hiding ourselves in His righteousness. And I like to define righteousness as a relationship. We are only right when we're in relationship. And you know what? Relationships can be a little bit messy. They can be confusing and really difficult. I think when we are thinking about relationship, maybe we could talk about the relationship of light and darkness. We can use that as an example for maybe how to pray more purposefully for those who are not walking in the light. So what is the relationship of light to darkness? Let's go to 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. When looking for a definition of dark or darkness, I went online to look for that definition. It's most often described as the absence of light. That's the definition that I have found in the dictionaries. It's described as a void. On the other hand, if you look for definitions for light, you will find a substance that is tangible and measurable. The brightness of light, the wavelength, there's radiation, there's photons, the speed of light, all of that is measurable. And it splits into different categories with even more measurable properties. So light is complex. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And from the definitions that I read, darkness is simply the absence of that complex and measurable light. Well, I started thinking about that more deeply, and maybe you can follow me along this train of thought. When we think of the property of darkness in spiritual terms, throughout all of history and many cultures and religions, there has been an acceptance that the relationship between light and dark is beautiful. Dark is a necessary counterpart that allows for the existence and the appreciation of light. That's a quote that I found on the internet when I was asking about light and dark and the relationship. Let me read that again. Dark is a necessary counterpart that allows for the existence and the appreciation of light. Dark gives contrast to light. And because it will give a contrast, then it allows for the existence, or it allows for the appreciation of what's being seen in that light. And maybe another way to see this is that when you think about light, it's so powerful, it cannot allow for any kind of shadow unless something or someone obstructs it. There has to be an obstruction of the light. If you think about stepping onto a beach there's so much brilliant light on a sunny day, there's no shadow unless there's an umbrella that's put up. Something has to obstruct the light, or your own shadow, you in that light, can cause a shadow, so it can cause darkness. So when you think of this quote, that dark allows for the existence and the appreciation of light, I just think that's such an interesting way to put it. Dark allowing the existence of light. That makes me think of us. We, in our human nature, in the fallen nature, we are beings of darkness, and we're only light if we allow God's light to be in us. And remember, 1 John 1:5 says, God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. But we as human beings in the dark, we can allow light into our lives. Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23 says that the new city that God is forming, the new Jerusalem, has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb of God. God is light, and he sent his only son to reconcile his light with our darkness. The darkness that, again, I'll go back to this quote, allows for the existence and appreciation of light. That darkness is in us. It's in our fallen human nature and in our state. We're just in the dark. And we are the ones who get to choose whether we will walk according to his light, allowing for his light to exist in our dark ways or not. His light has already provided redemption and reconciliation. Jesus did such a complete work that he holds the keys to death and hell. And I can't think of a darker place than death, a darker place than hell. But Revelation 1:18 says that Jesus has those keys, the keys to death and hell. So he can enter into those places at any time. It's kind of like you or me. We have keys to our home, keys or a code. We've got keys to our cars, our vehicles. So those keys allow us entrance into the vehicles or entrance into our homes. Well, the keys that Jesus holds to death and hell, he now has entrance anytime he wants into those places. Death cannot shut him out, and neither can hell. So he can enter there anytime he wants. And now let's think about 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. All right, so Jesus is light. God is light, and Jesus is the Son of God. He is light, and he did a work for us to reconcile darkness with light. And he holds the keys to death and hell, and he does not want anyone to perish. That's what this scripture is telling us in 2 Peter 3:9. He doesn't want anyone to end up in hell forever. So now he's got the keys to hell, and he can enter in at any time and present his light, his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness to anyone who may have ended up in hell. That's an awesome concept. That's something that we can get behind and say, you know what? That's what we want to. If this is what Jesus is offering, then we want to offer forgiveness. We want to offer love. We want to pray forgiveness and pray love over those who are not walking in the light. What if we just haven't been allowing the light to define us better? We have separated light and dark in our Christian walk, and we do that because we think we need to stay away from those dark things, right? We need to stay away from the dark lifestyles and reach for the light, reach for what is good. But what if we really just need the fruits of the Spirit? What if we need to allow those fruits, and those fruits are the light of God in our lives? Well, that means that we need to allow for patience when we might not be feeling really patient towards somebody. And we need patience in our own circumstances, because we might be feeling like we're at the end of our rope, that we don't know what to do. But God does know. He is patient toward us, not wishing for any of us to perish, but all of us to come to reconciliation and repentance in him. That patience is a hard one. I've heard jokes. People will joke about not asking God for patience, because if you ask him, then he's going to put you in situations where you need more patience. That might be kind of a funny way to look at it, but what if we just become more willing to be what he wants us to be? And so we end up asking for that patience after all. Even though we know that maybe circumstances will come our direction that cause us to need more patience, what if we just ask for it more? What will this look like in relationships that are difficult with other people, with others who are not walking in the light, with others that we need patience with? Jesus forgave, right? We can all agree on that, that he hung on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus died in order to forgive you. And then he was raised and seated with the Father. Let's remember that from Romans 8:34. And he is interceding and praying for all those who are not close to him. He's reconciling both groups, those who are near to him and those who are far from him. That's what we were reading in Ephesians 2. He's reconciling and joining them together to join him. And that's the answer to our question. That's what it looks like. What do we do with others who are not walking in the light? We pray for them with Jesus. We join Jesus in those prayers, forgiving them because they don't know what they're doing. Even if you think that the people around you know what they're doing, let's speak the words of Jesus and say, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And as we intercede with Jesus, can you just remember that he is God? If God is praying a prayer and you join that prayer with him, is there any way that prayer will fail? Surely not. Truthfully, it cannot fail. It's God who's praying the prayer, and we just join his prayer. This is where we want to live at peace and trust that God has a plan for our lives that is so much greater than we have ever imagined. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it has not even entered our imagination, the things that God has in store for those who love him. And I believe that he has great things in store for those he loves as well. Not just those who love him, but he loves his people. He loves his creation, and he does not want any of them to perish. So he has really good things in store. Jesus is not going to fail in his prayers. And you are not big enough to trip him up and cause his prayers to fail. Neither am I. I'm not big enough to ruin his plan. He has a plan, and his plan is going to happen. So when he prays, we can know it's not ever a question about whether or not his prayer will be answered. It is answered. His prayer is already answered. And when we join him in praying for others, we know for certain it's an absolute guarantee our prayers will be answered. There's no bad decision that your loved ones can make that will ruin the prayer of Jesus and your prayer as you join Jesus and ask for their heart. Now, the timing is going to be up to God, and we have to leave that timing with him. In relationship with God, we learn to trust his plan. We learn that we are not big enough to ruin or spoil his dream. He is unafraid of darkness, and in truth, he is with us in the darkness. Psalm 139 tells us that we could try to hide ourselves among the dead, but he is there. We could try and ask the darkness to hide us, but God is there too. If you say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to God, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to him. That's Psalm 139, verses 12 and 13. So we've been talking about the relationship of light and dark and how that applies to what Christ has done for us. In Ephesians 2, we are told in verses 12 through 18 that we were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he, Jesus himself, is our peace. He has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, both those who were far away and those who are near. He puts to death their hostility, and he preaches peace to you. Peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Praise the Lord. I hope you got something out of this that blesses your day and that you can walk through the rest of your day with joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in